My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, welcome back to the EDP F1 podcast. We are looking ahead to the glamour, glitz and glory. Yes, I did say I could use it as my intro. Of Monte Carlo, the Monaco Grand Prix, iconic stuff as far as Formula One goes. The marquee event. The table here is populated by Perry Hamilton.
Easy for you to say.
Clearly wasn't. DT's here, Dave Tillier.
Hello.
And Carl Cumbers.
Good evening.
I don't even think I actually said your name in the last one, Carl.
Did you not?
I think he just called you the Oracle.
I just called you the Oracle.
Everyone knows what that means.
Brilliant stuff. I love it. I love it. Right then, Monaco. Gents, special, innit, DT?
Just a bit. Quite possibly the highlight of the calendar. And I don't mean the Formula One calendar. I mean...
the year.
Yeah.
They could never get rid of this race, surely. It's just so iconic.
It is, yeah. It's not my, yeah.
No, the race is rubbish. That's fine, but the spectacle.
Yes, it's unique. It was a, and unfortunately, with safety rules, will never be repeated. You can't do that. And it's. I mean, if people from you don't follow Formula One, well, I just imagine they think of the Monaco Grand Prix, and all the I prefer watching the old races, and it's brilliant.
The older tracks, definitely. I mean, I suppose Singapore and what we'll get in New Jersey are what, and Valencia are the newer versions of Monaco. We don't want more of those. We want Monaco, don't we?
We just want Monaco. We just need that one. Because actually, the racing itself is never really that engaging.
No one can get past anyone.
No, unless it rains. And then it's just... havoc, absolute, and you are wincing at every corner thinking, Jesus, he's not going to come out of that. There have been some spectacular crashes at Monaco, some absolutely amazing crashes that have been so bad they have improved safety regulations based purely on those crashes. as Kyle quite rightly says, to the casual Formula One fan, Monaco is, the race that they automatically go to and think of. But actually, to the hardcore Formula One fan, dare I use the word gimmick?
I don't know about this.
I think I'd fall towards Monaco as being... I mean, you'll never get rid of it. No, you'll never get rid of it because of the money that it brings to it and the glitz and the glamour and the glory. It's a bit of a gimmick race. It's held there because it's always been held there. Since 1929, it's been held there. And it's held there through more expectation than anything else. But it's because of the money.
The cars are not designed to go around.
I mean, they used to be absolutely fine, but now they're so low to the ground, and the turning circles and the performance that's required out of them. And is it the only track that doesn't have a DRS zone now? The DRS zone is the tiniest pit straight that isn't even straight.
That's not such a bad thing. I think having a race that doesn't really need DRS is a good thing. I don't know. It has some of the best corners in Formula One.
Yeah, but they're not corners that you can pass at.
Yeah, but it's not.
We've seen passing even at Eau Rouge in Spa. I mean, that is widely regarded, I think we all agree, as one of the best corners in Formula One. Mm. People are even getting passed at Eau Rouge now. I don't think I've ever seen anyone pass at the Lowe's hairpin.
It's a challenge, though, isn't it? In a way, it's not necessarily about the racing between each other.
Yeah.
It's the zone and the rhythm and weaving that car around that track.
Oh, finishing Monaco strongly is a feather in any driver's cap. I completely agreed. Winning Monaco, brilliant, because you have to control it. You have to not make a mistake, because the problem with Monaco is you make the mistake, bang, you're in the wall. You're done. So it's more of a race with yourself. It's a battle with yourself. But in terms of actual wheel-to-wheel, cars against cars, it's not the best. It's not going to deliver the best on-track racing. I love it, don't get me wrong. I love it and I will watch it avidly, but to me it's a bit of a gimmick race.
See, for me it's the best race of the season.
That amazes me. That amazes me that a man of your sense and your knowledge, DT, says it's the best
race of the season.
There's just something about it. There's just something about the Monaco Grand Prix because it is so different to everything else. And because everything, like, right, okay, let's look at Singapore, right? Street circuit. It's really wide and there's loads of space. So, yeah, okay, there's barriers and stuff.
It's like a dual carriageway circuit, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Monaco is tight, it's twisty, and it's just, it's not as exciting as Spa to watch from an overtaking point of view, because Spa is very, very close to being my favourite Grand Prix of the year. But there's just something magical about watching a Formula One car at full chat running around the streets of Monaco and, you know, going through Tabac and, you know, this swimming pool and, you know, all of those fantastic corners that all those fantastic racing drivers have done so well at. You know, I get a little bit misty-eyed about everything that's gone before and all that sort of stuff. So it's all of the history and everything that comes along with it that makes Monaco for me not necessarily just, the race itself. I think it's a race that I love the build-up to more than any other race. In some races I can take the build-up or leave it, but Monaco is just, it's the anticipation of it is fantastic.
It's phenomenal to go to Monte Carlo and just, even if you're chewed up in a traffic jam and you're doing 2 miles an hour, to just drive the circuit or walk bits of it and get a feeling for how ridiculous it is.
I'm going to try and go this year, I think. I'm trying to
on-site reporting from D2.
We'll stick a GoPro on your head.
Obviously not Grand Prix I'm not going to go to, but now I'm trying to talk a famous manufacturer of cars to lend me a car for a while, and I'm going to drive it down there.
Will it have a passenger seat?
I have three.
Matt Bagsy that.
Wait, shotgun.
All right, then, we ask this each week, most important weekend for who? Kyle?
I'm going to say Mercedes, because this could be an opportunity for them to use their Saturday pace and transfer that over to Sunday.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because previous years, Monaco hasn't been too hard on tyres, and it's been pretty much a one pit stop race. So, I mean, we don't know what how the tyres will react there, so I think... Yeah, I think Mercedes, I think they'll see it as an opportunity to take advantage of their Saturday pace and transfer it to Sunday. McLaren probably is for a better race, but I don't know how they can improve their car before then, so just Mercedes.
Fernando. Big race for Fernando, I think. He has two wins, but he's still third. So he needs to continue that run. And try and maximise the points that he's... in fact, I think it's probably a big race for Fernando, Kimi and Vettel. I think it's a big race for all three of those. Because I honestly think that they're the only three that are in any chance of winning the World Championship. So I think it's big for all of them.
Love it.
It's big for McLaren. I said in the last podcast, if you're not competitive by Britain... by Silverstone, then you've really got to look at what you're doing and start thinking about just packing it in for this year and sort of phoning it in. This is the start of that. This needs to have a strong performance, and this is the track to do it at. You just need a good qualification. You just need to pull it out of the bag once. Button's usually quite strong here. We've seen that in the past. If you get it now, get it under your belt, go to Canada with strong performance behind you and a little bit of progression, have a strong performance at Canada, and maybe the whole thing isn't wasted. Flop here, you've got no momentum going into Canada. You then got to come all the way back across the pond and go to Britain at your home Grand Prix with no momentum behind you. It's not going to be that great. This is make or break time for McLaren, in my opinion.
Love it, love it, love it. I would probably go a little bit further down, I suppose. Thinking about Nico Hülkenberg, who's having a bit of a torrid time since he's moved down to Sauber. I think he's going to be itching to see some positives before he starts feeling some of those regrets that we talked about a couple of weeks ago after leaving Force India. Could, though, be a big weekend for Caterham, because both drivers have driven Monaco in GP2. They will know what's ahead of them. And if it's a bit of a carnage weekend, then they can possibly get close to that 13th position that would at least draw them level with Marussia. But then that might not happen at all. You never know. But I'm sure they'd like the opportunity, and what they need to do is make sure they're in a position to take advantage if the opportunity comes along, which hasn't really been the case for a few weeks.
I suppose that's the other thing about Monaco, is that you do never know.
Mm. Oh, it has the unpredictability.
The predictability about it is quite alluring.
I feel like I may have... I didn't realise how passionate you were about the race, did you? I feel like I may have... stepped on some toes there.
It's good, because if we were all singing off the same hymn sheet, then it would be quite a boring pod. I think, you know, we need to have that that differences. And I think for me, in Monaco, it's more emotional than it is logical. My love for it.
Right. Well, that's love, isn't it? I mean, love is more emotional than logical. It's getting deep. It's getting deep now.
But, well, we'll leave it at calling it a Monaco and unpredictable gimmick, and move on.
Okay. I'm going to get abused for that a bit later.
Just going back to what Carl said a minute ago, though, I do really hope that it isn't a Mercedes on pole, because then that could be quite a boring procession.
No, oh my God. Or the best traffic jam in history.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the car? They're going to be saying, "He's too slow. Get him out of the way." Seb, we can't.
It's a Mercedes.
It is prediction time. Now, it won't take long for us to go through the predictions for Spain, because A, they were rubbish, and B, it was just me and Ped. Ped, you suggested it would be a Sebastian Vettel win and pole, Hamilton on the front row.
Nailed it.
And a Force India, that one, and a Force India on the podium, which you got a kudos point for, but nothing much else. Yeah. Hamilton was on the front row, of course.
Yeah.
So you get a bit for that. My glittering array of predictions were a Red Bull 1-2, which wasn't going to happen as soon as Mark Webber failed to start. Nico Hülkenberg in the top six. And Sergio Perez ahead of Button, which, as I said in the other pod, I was robbed of that one. So I got nothing for sort of the fourth week out of five, I think. Kimi winning is still the only success I've had, which strikes me as terribly ironic given 2012. So we have all four of us here for some predictions. Kyle, just feels like I have to come to you first. So Monaco, what's going to happen? Predict the unpredictable gimmick.
I'm going to go for a Hamilton pole. I'm going to stick to there.
And then a procession.
Then a Hamilton win.
Oh!
And Mark Webber on the podium, because
he loves Monaco,
pretty good record around
he?
Monaco. And sort of my fourth random prediction will be that the winner has two pit stops.
So wins
that,
on a
can I have that prediction?
Of course you can, yeah. The winner does it on a two-stop strategy.
Pirelli will be... They'll be raving about Pirelli, because it'll be a great race. And the winner will be on a two-stop strategy.
Fair enough. So through the pit lane twice, we'll say.
Yes. Okay.
If they get a drive-through penalty, but they only stop for tyres twice, then you've lost. I'm sorry.
And that's from the start. They can't start from the pit lane.
All of these conditions need
to come in. Oh, I'm loving that work, Kyle. That's terrific stuff. DT's deep in thought. Hmm. Do you want me to come to you in a bit?
No, it's... Well, I think Kimi's going to win. That's going to be my prediction for the winner. Pole is quite hard, because I'm kind of thinking part of me is erring towards Webber, because he's very quick over a single lap round there, and you know, he's quick round in the race obviously because he's won a couple of times. But I think Mercedes might still have that one lap pace. But I think Rosberg is the better driver at the moment out of the two Mercedes drivers. So let's say Rosberg on pole again. Kimi to win, and Perez to beat Button.
You just read my mind. Well, to a degree, although you nicked my prediction from last week. Perez to beat Button.
Perez to beat Button, which pains me to say.
I did. I could see it through.
Yeah. I liked Perez last year, so it's really odd that I don't like him this year. I don't know what's led me to feel that way.
Change in feelings.
I'm going to go with... I'm also going to go for a Mercedes on pole. I'm going to go with a Mark Webber win. Because I don't think Red Bull would dare ask him to move out of the way at Monaco, especially after the mess up in Malaysia. So I think Webber's going to take it, because I just think the Mercedes are going to collapse and not be able to withstand race pace, no matter how good to the tyres Monaco is. No, I'm not going to tell you which Mercedes is going to be on pole. I'm going to ride the fence on that one. So Mercedes on pole, Webber to win, and I will go a Toro Rosso in the top seven.
Random.
Yeah.
Random indeed. You'll want some predictions from me now, won't you, after my stunning recent success.
You know what they say, Michael? Was it form is temporary, class is permanent?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, apparently so. I had Perez in my mind. I think he's going to finish in the top five. I think he's going to fly, and I think Monaco will lend itself better to the McLaren in that it doesn't really matter if they're not very quick. So that will help. So yeah, Perez top five. And I would just, I want to predict Felipe Massa winning it, but it, I just can't see it happening, so I'm not going to. I'd just love it to happen. I don't think it is going to happen. It might do for Vettel, though. I think he might just pull this one off. So I'll go for a Seb pole, a Seb win. I think Perez will finish in the top five. And I don't think Lewis will finish. Ooh. DNF Lewis.
Wow.
I just think he's going to get in a rut. And there you go.
Wow.
Can I add an extra one for some kudos points?
Oh, he's asking. Well, we have to decide the kudos points, DT. You can't ask for them, but you can definitely predict it.
Well, I think if this one comes off, then I definitely should get kudos points. I'm going to say Caterham in the top 11.
Oh, yeah, top 11.
Well, if you can do it, if you can predict it at any race, you can predict it at Monaco. You know, if you're going to say silly things, then Monaco is the time. No offence, Caterham. It's not silly that you're getting the top 11. It's top just 11. Incredibly unrealistic.
I love that. Top 11. That's a proper push. All right, then. I love it. Jules Bianchi to pick up Marussia's first point. Wow. I'll see you in our race.
Wow.
There you go.
Right.
Do
let's,
it. All
right.
Jules Bianchi.
All right.
To prove what he's all about.
Jesus. No, I'm not getting drawn into this. I'm
come
quite
on.
Happy with Kyle,
Kyle's
where
the expert, he's not. No?
Force India are going to have a dismal one.
As in
they're going to have a terrible race.
What does that mean?
It means they're not going to get into the points at all. They're going to be
double
really
DNF.
Down. No, not double DNF. Don't put words in my mouth, Michael. They're just going to, considering their recent form of performances, they're going to be out of the points.
Both cars out of the
both
points.
Both cars. Both Force India's out of the points.
I think I've already read Carl's mind, because he wants to go win a one up from us. So I think he's going to predict that Hamilton sprains his ankle and they bring back Michael Schumacher for one last race.
Could happen.
Now I'm going to get drawn into it.
Oh, he is?
Max Chilton will out-qualify Bianchi.
I wouldn't necessarily say that's as bold as the rest of what we've been.
If you get it, we'll see.
He's starting to look slightly better than mediocre.
Could be.
Bless him.
Will he finish ahead of Lewis?
No.
I'm effectively saying he will, aren't I?
You are, yeah, you are.
Max Chilton to finish ahead of Lewis.
Well,
add that to the pile.
Right. Roscoe the dog will finish ahead of Lewis.
Oh my God.
But to be honest, I'm not winning predicting three.
Alien
so
invasion
well predict
is going to happen on lap 17. Are we getting really silly?
Yes.
All right, then. I think on that collection of bombshells, we should wrap it up. Gents, thanks for that. Twitter, the best place to get us. We want to hear your predictions, obviously, if you want to sling them your way. Sling them our way, and we can then mock yours, as I'm sure you have mocked ours as we've said them all. The EDP Twitter feed for Formula 1 is at EDPF1. I am at Michael J. Bailey. Ped?
At PedHD56.
DT?
At Dave Tillier.
And Kyle?
At Kay Cumbers.
There you go. Come and speak to us on Twitter, should you so wish.
How have you not taken the Twitter handle at EDP Oracle yet? I don't understand that.
I'll do it later.
Oh, yeah, we should set up a account
just
for that,
F1 Oracle.
I think I might have just been taken. Try that website
we'll try
thing
it.
That you know.
If anyone out there wants to take it, or you've bought it and you want to sell it
to the Oracle. He already knows how much you're asking for it. Yeah, he already knows whether he's going to say
the
yes.
Check's
or
probably
not.
Already in the post. Let's wrap this up. Gents, thank you all. Thank you for listening. And we will see you post Gimmick Monaco.
Hey.